The following worship service was recorded live at Rock Springs First United Methodist Church in Rock Springs, Wyoming, with Reverend Jimmy Krishan on Sunday, November 25th, 2018.
Church. Greetings, grace, and peace in the name of our Lord, our Savior, Jesus, our Christ, on this Lord's Day. Let us know that today is indeed the day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. For we celebrated a day of thanksgiving on Thursday, but we as Christians do that every time we come together. We should be thankful. And every time we bow our heads before our God, it should start with thanksgiving, and especially today, for indeed it is the day the Lord has made. May we rejoice and be glad in it. Let us pray. Our gracious, loving, and merciful God, truly we thank you. We thank you for your love, grace, and mercy. We thank you for your blessings in our lives. We thank you that you hear us when we pray. And we know that the Scriptures say that you are Spirit, therefore we worship you in spirit and in truth. And Father, today we do more than that. We call upon your promise that where two or three are gathered together, you're in their midst. Father, we claim those promises and come to you now to worship you in spirit and in truth. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.
Our reading this morning is from John, chapter 18, verses 33 through 37. Then Pilate entered the headquarters again, summoned Jesus, and asked him, "Are you the king of the Jews?" Jesus answered, "Do you ask this on your own, or did others tell you about me?" Pilate replied, "I am not a Jew, am I? Your own nation and the chief priests have handed you over to me. What have you done?" Jesus answered, "My kingdom is not from this world. If my kingdom were from this world, my followers would be fighting to keep me from being handed over to the Jews. But as it is, my kingdom is not from here." Pilate asked him, "So you are a king?" Jesus answered, "You say that I am a king. For this I was born, and for this I came into the world, to testify to the truth. Everyone who belongs to the truth listens to my voice." The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
Okay, if you were in Sunday school this morning or you watched Sunday school, you cannot answer the questions I'm about to give out. So I don't know, I couldn't see this morning who was on the screen, so I don't know who watched, so you could cheat. I don't know. And I don't think my class looked. Did you guys look? No, so you're safe. So there are three Christian holidays or Christian times of year that are significant to us. Can anybody tell me what they are? Easter? We got one. Christmas? Okay. If you're in Sunday school, you can't answer. But you got Christmas. That's two. There's another one. Pentecost. The birth of the church. Those are the three. I thought I heard somebody whisper that over here, but this is what it is. We have lost our traditions. We've lost the knowledge of our traditions. We've lost the knowledge of what's going on. That's why when I say today's the last Sunday in Kingdom Tide, most people go, "What's a Kingdom Tide?" Well, it's the last Sunday after Pentecost. I gave you a hint with that, but it's the last Sunday after Pentecost. What do you think kingdom tide would mean? If Pentecost is the birth of the church, and today's the last Sunday of Pentecost, the last Sunday in kingdom tide, what might that have started at Pentecost? A movement. A movement. What's a tide? It's a movement, isn't it? And it's a kingdom tide, right? So there you go. You got that one, sort of. Now you got two more, and these are the two I want to spend some time on because you can't have one without the other. Now, the birth of Jesus is significant. The virgin birth of Jesus is significant. The fact that he was born in Bethlehem is significant. The fact that he was married to a virgin is significant. The fact that he's married into the house and lineage of David is significant. The fact that he grew up teaching in the synagogues is significant. The fact that he was able to do great miracles is significant. The fact that he taught well and preached well and was able to feed thousands with a little boy's sack lunch is significant. To cause the blind to see, the lame to walk, and raise the dead. It's all significant. But if Jesus hadn't died on the cross and was raised from the dead, it would have meant nothing. He would have just went down in the history books as a great prophet. You see, it's the crucifixion, the cross, that gives the significance to what Jesus did, proves he was who he lived out and who he said he was. There was something that he told us that we need to understand, but I want to get these two holidays in there. So Advent is made up of the four Sundays prior to December 25th, which we have celebrated the birth of Jesus. Four Sundays prior to. What is Lent? The four Sundays prior to Easter Sunday. In Lent, what do we do? It's a somber time, isn't it? We're heading to the cross. We're heading to the beating. We're heading to the crucifixion. We're heading to the mock trial. We're heading to all of that stuff, aren't we? And we have Maundy Thursdays, and we have Ash Wednesdays, and we have Good Fridays, and Lent is a time when we, as Christians, should be reviewing, looking at our life, how we're living it, maybe giving up something, fasting for something, denying ourselves. You know, it's that kind of holiday in preparation for the celebration that only comes on Easter Sunday. Palm Sunday is a Sunday when we remember what? The triumphant entry that led to what? His arrest. His death. But on that Sunday, Easter Sunday, we celebrate the resurrection of Christ. It is the life, death, resurrection of Christ that gives him proof that he is who he is. I didn't say was, did I? Is. Lent is that season headed for Easter. So at Easter, we hold in tension the life and death of Jesus with the resurrection. For the two have to complete the one. Now, in Advent, we're headed to celebrate the birth of Jesus. And it's a celebratory time, you know. But at the same time, the cross looms. But the empty tomb is there. You see, if there was no cross, there'd be no Christmas. There would be no Advent. There wouldn't be a national holiday. And I think I said last Sunday, if you're not going to believe in Jesus, don't take the time off with pay. You know, have some integrity. You know, don't ride the Jesus coattail just to get a free week off or whatever, you know, or day, whatever you're going to get. But at Advent, we are celebrating and we will hear love, hope, joy, and peace. Those are the four Sundays prior to the birth of Jesus. We are going to celebrate the birth of Jesus and in anticipation of his second coming. We believe that Christ is coming again. So we're going to hold those two things in tension. We're holding the life, death, and resurrection tension on Easter. Do you see how significant Advent is? But we've played it down. We've turned it into ball games, parties, and all that stuff. We've whitewashed it down to a fat little man with a white beard and some gifts. Now, all of those things are fine, but let's don't lose what Christmas really is about. How many of you knows what the word Christmas really means? Sunday school class is about to jump up and tell us all about it. Well, for about 1,200 years, what Christian church existed? The Catholic Church. How long have we been celebrating Christmas? Longer than that. So it started back in the days of Catholicism. Well, when we Protestants separated from Catholics, and we did, we decided we were going to make a few changes and tweaks, so we did. And one of the things we did is we took the hyphen out of the word and we dropped an S. And we call it Christmas. But the reality is, it's still got a T in it, but in the English, you know, you can do what you want to with words. You know, it don't matter. You can have a rule, but then you throw the rule away. I mean, we had an ice storm, right? I-C-E. So there's a lot of ices outside, right? You know, it should have an S. You know, if we're going to pluralize it, put an S on it or something. But English says, yeah, but no. So, you know, that's just the way it is. So we argue this about our house all the time about, you know, it just don't make sense. You know, deer, deers, cheese and cheeses. If you got a pack of cheese and you got 16 slices, is that cheeses or is that cheese? Should be cheeses. They 16 pieces in there. They ain't one. I know it's the English language, right? It just is crazy. But it used to be Christ Mass, C-H-R-I-S-T hyphen M-A-S-S, which meant that on Christmas Eve at midnight, you as a Catholic went to church and celebrated the Mass that recognized and told the story of Jesus' birth. And you remembered the birth of Jesus, but you have already been through those Advent Sundays coming up to that. So we Protestants, we took it away, and we said, now we're not going to do a Mass because we don't have Masses in the Protestant church, so we're going to have Christmas service, and we're going to call it Christmas instead of Christ Mass. So that's where we get the word Christmas. Now, how many of you would take offense to the cross, to the X hyphen Mass? Don't. Xmas. What is an X? A cross. A cross. A cross. Who was crucified on a cross like that? Peter. So it's a cross. So don't get offended by it. They've almost already taken it away. Have you noticed how much sooner the decorations come out at the Walmart stores? I mean, it gets early. We have decided at my house they should not be able to put out a thing for Christmas after Thanksgiving's over. But they got to get Black Friday in there. So now Black Friday starts on Thursday. You know, you eat lunch, run down to the Black Thursday, which is a Friday sale. Oh, we're gullible. We just go along with it. But Christmas has lost its teeth, even in the Christian church. And let me tell you why. It stopped being about the Messiah. It started being about the social connections. It started being about exchanging gifts and outgiving somebody else. It became a competition because you couldn't be outgiven. You had to give more than you gave. But I think we've missed it. Gift giving is fine. We remember the Magi. We remember the wise men. We remember the gifts of Jesus. And that's why we came. Do you know giving gifts to children at Christmas has only been about a 120-year tradition? Yeah. You need to research the secular Christmas and see where it came from. Oh, we're going to put up a tree in the sanctuary. It's not a Christmas tree, is it? We don't put up Christmas trees in church unless we slip and call it that. It's a Christmon tree. We light it. Why? What is Jesus? The light of the world. Why do we decorate it? Did you people just get here? I mean, were you just come here at last night or night before last? Why do we decorate a Christmas tree? Why is it green? It's an evergreen. It stands for what? Eternal life. The lights represent what? Christ is the light of the world. What do the decorations represent? Gifts lifted to the King. Why do we put gold and tinsel and all? I'm going to have to work on you people. You're going to have to go to a mandatory Christians Believe 101. You know, you got to get that. Do you see what I was telling you? We've lost our traditions. Do you see that? We have lost our traditions. We clergy have failed you. We haven't taught you. Anita's 91. She's got older every time I've told this today. So she's 91. Jackie McGinney's 92. She's got her by just a little bit. And have I told you what Anita said about her brother? I'm telling this. This was absolutely the funniest thing I've ever heard. Now, Anita does a lot for people. And she told us in the office one Wednesday, she said, well, I'm going to go. I need to go help my brother. She said, he can't remember anything anymore. He's only 84. Only 84. If you're 91, I guess 84. Yeah, it's different. Anita said she was 91, and she's never been taught this. It's been a while, hasn't it? And it slipped, and it slipped, and it slipped. Okay, let's give you the other one. What does the word Easter mean? Easter. 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 The sun rises in the Easter. The Bible says that we should watch into the eastern sky. And as they stood looking into the eastern sky, they saw the angel descending, Jesus ascending into the clouds. And in like manner you saw him go, and in like manner he shall return. Easter. Early in the morning before the sun had come up, the women went to the tomb. Easter. Hold on to that. Yeah. There's more to it. Go look it up. I'm not going to give you everything free. Let's look at what he said. I got to hurry up. Now we'll get down to the sermon. I got all the teaching stuff done. So let's look at the text. And I want to add verse 38 to this because the lectionary leaves it off, but I want to put it in here. And because Pilate is talking to Jesus, this is in the courtyard room. Out to the side, it's a private conversation. There's probably a guard or two in the room, but it's Jesus and Pilate face to face. Remember that Pilate's wife had told him, don't have anything to do with him. You shouldn't do anything. And Pilate's hesitant. And when you read this story, you find Pilate very hesitant to do anything. He does not want to put Jesus to death. And he's forced into it. He's compromised because of political things and because of all of the pressures that are upon him in a crooked government where you have to do to get ahead. So let's look at this again real quick because, and you want to underline this, Jesus is going to tell us in this passage why he came. Jesus is going to come and tell us right here his purpose, his calling, the reason he came. It's right here. Everybody says, well, I don't fully understand why Jesus came. Here it is. I don't understand what Jesus came to do. Here it is. This is it. Got it in just a few words. Not even a long book. So let's look at it. And I'm in verse 37. Pilate asked him, so are you a king? Jesus answered, you say that I am a king. For this I was born, and for this I came into the world, comma, now this is the answer. This is why he came into the world. To testify to the truth. Number one, circle that one. That's number one. To testify to the truth. To testify to the truth. Number two is everyone who belongs to the truth listens to my voice. That's number two. And then Pilate asked him, what is truth? Well, what if we asked used car salesmen what the truth was? What if we asked them to? What if we ask someone in legal services to define truth for us? If we ask somebody in the military, truth would be an order. If we ask somebody in the medical field, it'd be the doctor's diagnosis. If we ask somebody in a true legal system, they'd say point of law. If we were to ask people, the differences in truth are the differences in truth, but truth changes in the world around us, doesn't it? The truth changes. When I was 25, I could work all day long, no problems. I was actually running an auto repair business back then, and I worked from 7 until 6 every day was my business hours. And after I closed, I built engines. And I would stay after work, close up, and build a small block Chevy and go home about midnight and have it ready to put in the car the next day. And I would be back at work the next morning. Didn't bother me. That was the truth. But guess what? I can't do that now. Did that make I doing it back then a lie? Or did the truth change? Did the truth change? Now, what if I told you that when you drove your car in here, it was running really good, but while you were in here, the engine block cracked? Did the truth change? Yeah. Why? Because in the world we know, truth is based on facts as we know them, and the facts as we know them can change. Right? Sure. So, what is truth? Truth isn't a thing then, because things always change. Truth isn't a thing at all. Truth is a who. Truth is a who, and I'm not talking about the Grinch's Christmas world. I'm not talking about Whoville. I'm talking about who is a person. It is a live and living entity. Jesus says in John 14:6, three things about who he is. He says to his disciples, I am the way, the truth, and the life. Jesus just told us that I came, number one, to testify to the truth. So Jesus came as the Messiah, the fulfillment of God's promises. That fulfillment of God's promises witness to the truth of God's promises and verified God's promises to us, right? And Jesus was the Messiah in fulfilling them. He was the witness to them. He also showed us and lived an example, so he became the living truth as he fulfilled the prophecies. Not only as he fulfilled them, but everything was confirmed when he was crucified, dead and buried, and on the third day rose from the dead. Not only that, there was a little incident in the temple. Anybody remember what happened in the temple at the crucifixion? How many of you know what the Jewish temple looked like? Yeah, the curtains tore, but what did the curtains represent? A separation. The only person that could go in the Holy of Holies, we got one right here. This ain't the Holy of Holies back here. It might be a holy, but it ain't the Holy of Holies. It's a place separated from you. You would be in the courtyard, and the only person that could go into the Holy of Holies was the priest once a year. And they tied a rope on his ankle and a bell. So if God struck him down, the bell would quit ringing and they could drag him out. Because they wouldn't want to go in there after God just killed one. Would you? Not me. I'd be scared to death going there anyway, because you had to be sinless to go in there. and survive. That leaves me out. So the Holy of Holies was separated. It was a 30-foot square in the back of the temple where the showbread and the ark and all the holy things were kept. And there was a curtain that separated it from everybody else. When Jesus died on the cross, the veil was torn, that curtain was torn, and now you have access and I have access straight through to God through the sacrifice of Jesus Christ and the resurrected Lord. We don't need somebody to pray for us. We don't need somebody to pray on our behalf, and we don't need a go-between. Jesus separated that out. We don't have to come up and kill little critters on the altars anymore. Jesus was the final sacrifice. We don't have to go out here. And how many would like to have come this morning and brought me, oh goodness, I'd had to get Nick to help me, a lamb to kill and a goat to kill and some turtle doves, you know, some birds to kill. We would have just been had a good old bloody killing time here this morning if we hadn't have Jesus, because the sacrificial system would still be in effect. But his sacrifice and his resurrection gives us a way to God through grace. So truth isn't a what, but truth is a who. And it's about a relationship with Jesus. So what is truth? Jesus is truth. Pilate didn't know that, but he had a sense of it. He was afraid of it. He was almost there. But when Jesus says truth, I am truth, and those who know truth listen to my words, Pilate says, what is truth? He didn't get it. Do we? Do we? Do we listen to him? Do we follow his word? Are we his hands and feet? Are we going and making disciples? Are we sharing love, grace, and mercy? How do we know that we're his? Anybody know? One thing that marks us as Christians. What is it? Love. What kind of love? Unconditional. Yeah. Yeah, isn't that strange? He didn't call us to hate anybody, did he? He said, a new commandment I give you, that you love one another. Even as I have loved you, may you love one another. By this alone they will know you are mine, that you love one another. And if you love me, you will keep my commandments. Truth is the word of God. For it is the same today, yesterday, and forevermore. For he is eternal and not temporary. How can truth really be found in the temporary? Because it's ever-changing. It's ever-dynamic. You may tell somebody today the truth as you know it. You may go out there and tell them, I've got a truck out here. It's got 350,000 miles. It hasn't given me much trouble. It's a good running truck. I think you'd go. I'd get in and go anywhere. And I sell it to you, and you can't get out of the parking lot. Did that make me a liar? No, the stupid thing broke. It had 350,000 miles on it. You know, that's the way it. It didn't mean I lied. It meant the facts changed. Truth will stand all of the tests, including time. May the truth be in us, and may that truth be Christ. And Christ gives us the Word of God and the Holy Spirit that we may live it out, imperfect as we are, and that we would love the world around us. Not judge it, not condemn it. Our job is to share Christ. It's their job to accept or reject. It's up to them, not us. So may we know the who of truth and not look for the what. Do we think there's a daddy's girl in the house? Girls usually become daddy's girls, don't they? It happens. May then we know truth as a who, and that who is Jesus, the only Son of God, the fulfillment of the promise, the Messiah, the Christ, the Redeemer. Amen. Heads bowed and eyes closed for just a minute. Father, today we come in this last Sunday of Kingdom Tide, this last Sunday of Pentecost, we enter into the beginning of the Christian calendar. The change comes next Sunday. A season and a time called Advent. And today we've learned of the truth and the traditions. And it's through the traditions that we are reminded of the truth. And the truth stays clear. For the truth is about you. Christ came and witnessed to God's truth. And in that became truth itself. And also the way and the life. And our way unto God through whom we have life. And Father, you have called us to be his hands and feet. May they know we are Christians by our love. May they know we are Christians by our actions. May they know we are Christians, truly Christians, by loving and doing for others, out of kindness, out of love, not out of duty or obligation, but out of kindness and love. Hear our hearts and prayers lifted before you this Lord's Day. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Go in God's grace, go in God's peace, knowing who is the truth, and that is Christ. And may Christ go with you, bless you, and keep you. May his countenance shine upon you. May his peace that surpasses all understanding fill you. And may you go in peace and grace in Christ's name. Amen.
You have been listening to a worship service recorded live at Rock Springs First United Methodist Church. Our pastor is Reverend Jimmy Krishan. Our church is located at 1515 Edgar Street in Rock Springs, Wyoming. You may call us at 307-362-5334. Please note our email address, which has changed recently, rsfumc@sweetwaterhsa.com. Visit our website at rockspringsumc.org for more information about our congregation, our ministries, or upcoming events. Audio copies of this sermon are also available on the website. We invite you to join us for worship on Sunday mornings at 10:30 a.m.